It's November 8th. You've survived to another Friday. You're going to get a heaping dose of nonsense, as you would expect, and also robots.
And one design story, which I added. I usually don't add design stories, but I saw it, and I was like, oh, let's add a design story. Krista will like that. But she didn't come, and she didn't tell us she wasn't coming. But we'll talk about it anyway, because it's kind of funny. It has to do with Helvetica.
This article's in Fast Company, which is like ad agency swill. And this project, of course, is an ad agency swill project. But the headline is, Helvetica's evil twin, Helvetica, will haunt your nightmares. It's like Helvetica. So yeah, the font has random or formulaic kerning. So the spacing between letters is seemingly random, but actually follows a very advanced pattern.
And it's not very readable. And they talk about how this is like, it's a thought experiment to push the boundaries. No, it's a publicity stunt.
It's a publicity stunt by an ad agency. Don't fall for it.
Well, I mean, how are you going to fall for it?
Write an article in Fast Company.
You can install this if you want. This might be a fun prank to install on somebody's computer that doesn't understand fonts.
Yeah. So literally any Mac user.
Oh.
They'll be like, what happened?
Now, we know from fiction that you have to give AI very specific rules. Because if you don't, they're just going to kill us all, right? And Asimov came up with his rules. The Pentagon has considerably more rules than he came up with.
Defense Innovation Board unveils an AI ethics principles for the Pentagon. This is supposedly going to be AI ethics principles that contractors like Raytheon and Boeing and stuff are going to have to follow in designing their AI. So it's like this system, you know, follows these rules. Of course, all of Asimov's fictional works, at least I hope they're fictional, dealt with interesting side effects like the three laws of robotics. Simple. Anybody can understand them. And yet his works explored how robots could follow those rules to the letter for fairly horrifying results in most cases.
Now, replace that with an army of Pentagon lawyers figuring out how they can follow them to the letter, but still kill, you know, wedding goers and stuff like that. There's 12 of them, but it really disappointed me that they did not itemize the 12 in this article.
I don't think they finalized what they are. I think they're just, it's like 12 general things. So
that's funny. It's like, robot, are you following the 12 laws? And he's like, are you talking about revision 853 or the draft revision that's not been ratified yet? I'm unsure. I'm unsure what to do. So, yeah. We got those rules at least. Or, well,
do we? No. those are a security blanket given to the public to help them sleep better at night.
DeepMind. DeepMind is the StarCraft II playing AI. Now, at some point in the past, they, with some fanfare, unleashed DeepMind onto the European ladder. So if you're playing in Europe, I don't know if they rolled it out to the rest of the world yet or not, you might come up against DeepMind. You won't know it, but you'll come up against DeepMind. And with every game, DeepMind supposedly gets better, and it seems like that's true.
DeepMind's StarCraft II AI is now better than 99.8% of all human players. AlphaStar is now Grandmaster level in the real-time strategy game.
That is, they're basing that 99.8 on because 0.2% of StarCraft players are Grandmasters.
I would like to see stats on limiting the AI to a fixed number of actions per minute, and see how it performs in those.
They did.
Well, no, I mean realistic actions per minute, not 250 or whatever it was. I want to see how it performs at 50 actions per minute, and then 100, and then 150, and then 600.
But 250 is about what a Grandmaster does.
Yeah.
So it's on par.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, the god tier Korean players, but still.
It doesn't ever blink or rest or misclick, though.
The other rule they gave it is that it could not have overall map awareness. It had to only play based on what it could see on the square that it was looking at on the screen.
That's good.
Yeah. Now, they have a version with the unlocked APM. Nobody can beat it.
Yeah.
Which I think is only fair. Let's let it play. It's like steroids in baseball. It's more entertaining. What? So sometimes you might be taking a poop and you get up and you look at it. We all look at it. Don't pretend that you don't. And you think to yourself, is that a good poop? How do you know? Well, now there's a way.
The world's first poop database needs your help. Your poop can train an artificial intelligence model. Okay.
All you got to do is download this app from MIT, register, and take some pictures of your poop.
Now, it is anonymous. They're not going to track your poop in a database that's forever associated with you. Somebody in Langley's not going to pull up your file and be like, "Oh, what happened there?"
And you can tell it what time of day you usually poop, and it'll send you a little reminder. Like, hey, don't forget to take a picture of your poop. And the idea here is there's a scale. Oh, man, I can't remember what the name of the scale is, but some brilliant doctor came up with a scale for poops, like how good yours is. And that's 1 to 5, I think. And so it will actually rank your poop based on that scale.
See, I thought, like, it was tough for me to imagine a scenario where it was just one dimension. Because, like, fiber content, healthiness, liquidity, there's a lot of parameters. There's a lot of metrics. Reducing it to just one number seems like not a good way to classify.
The Bristol scale. That's what it's called.
We have several different Play-Doh models also, is another choice quote from this article.
What a great graduate project. You know, they give you some Play-Doh and you're like, oh, we're going to have some fun? Yeah, we are. Get ready. Another interesting thing coming out of MIT has to do with self-driving. One thing I think we've learned from Tesla's latest foray into the summon feature is that parking lots are a big stumbling block for self-driving cars. Tight spaces and those sharp turns they struggle with, but now they have a new tool.
MIT taught the self-driving cars how to see around corners with shadows. So the AI can infer that a car is coming based on light and shadow.
Should make it really easy for carjackers to trick your car into stopping completely as they pull their guns.
I'm pretty sure you could do that with just a holographic sticker.
Well, I'm thinking you just like manipulate the light, like hold something in front of it. Of course, that's a good question. Could you carjack a self-driving car?
Probably.
I guess you could. But then you got to think that the telemetry would get you, right? They just shut it down and lock the doors.
Oh. Oh, man. What if it's like in carjacking, you have to stick in a USB stick. It's like you got to stick it in within 5 seconds before somebody can respond and shut the car down. And that'll prevent the car from being shut down.
Oh, there's going to be so many movies where like they jump into the car and they plug in the laptop and they're just like, you know, and then like the garbage is running up the screen. And then there's a graphical GUI that shows a loading status. We're almost in. Can't wait for those. AI can now read our emotions to better exterminate us someday. You know, it's like it knows our fears. And when it's interrogating us and torturing us, that can help it find how to destroy us mentally. So we tell it where the resistance is. And now it's even better at that.
New AI tool knows whether you are nervous or confused. So this is just adding, it's looking for micro expressions and just adding another dimension to the neural net for figuring out, you know, what somebody is thinking and how they're responding.
Spoiler alert, AI. The answer is always yes. We previously had happy, sad, and other ones. This is just branching out into two new emotions that they've learned. It's going to be funny, like, in order to train the AI, do we have to recognize every human emotion? Will we unlock emotions that we didn't previously understand before?
I think there are certain, like color, where, you know, yellow and blue make green. I think certain combinations of emotion, you know, there's more than one way to get to a certain look.
Optimistic despair. We're trying to clean up the oceans. There's a lot of plastic in the oceans. And how do you do that? Well, a lot of people say it's robots. But here's the thing. Once the plastic's already in the ocean, it's tough to get. So these geniuses came up with a new kind of robot.
The Ocean Cleanup Project is now cleaning plastic out of rivers to stop it from getting into the ocean. So this little doodad will drive the river, and the long thing that sticks out routes all of the trash to its conveyor belt. And Boy, howdy, is it picking up a lot of trash.
Oh, it's so hungry. Yeah, this little thing here. Not bad. Looks cool. Gotta wonder how robust its little tether is.
I think that's just, it's just, it doesn't need to be super robust. It just needs to get all the floating trash.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, if somebody drives over it with a propeller.
Oh, it's probably fine. Can you imagine if it got tangled up in the propeller, though?
And just sucked the boat in.
Yeah.
That destroyed would... it with its claws.
Or what if you're on a jet ski and you get sucked into the conveyor belt?
I imagine it's pretty slow moving. Although, like, maybe your leg is pinned under the jet ski. So, skin grafts. We can actually 3D print things to put on your skin graft to keep you from, you know, like, it's basically just a covering, a fancy Band-Aid. But that's cool, right? We can 3D print it. And now, it's gotten even cooler.
Living skin can now be 3D printed with blood vessels included. This took longer than I thought it would because, you know, it was probably 5 years ago that they were printing scaffolding onto which skin would grow, and blood vessels, I think, could be grafted onto that. But this is 3D printing the whole nine yards from real living cells.
Here's the thing. Still won't work because it's not your cells. They're working on trying to CRISPR it into your cells. I think that's going to be pretty easy to do. I don't know if they've considered the zombie apocalypse, you know, possibilities here.
The manufacturing facility for the live human tissue ink tanks is what brings the zombie apocalypse.
Or, you know, just getting one and it goes bad.
I had a different thought, and that was we'll finally be able to corner the market on, you know, human skin lampshades.
See, what you do is...
humanely.
You, as the first zombie, you kill the person, and then you take a big bite out of them, and then you rip off part of your skin, you slap it on there, and the infection spreads.
The infection spread through 3D printers. Who could have guessed?
And when you kill a zombie, you have to completely skin it, which is really difficult. Jets, well, we have self-driving cars, and that seems to be the future. And it's kind of weird to trust them. I personally don't think that I would. It just seems like there's too many factors. And in fact, people have trusted them and been killed. And that's the minority, but still, you know, like there's that chance. It's the reason I won't get LASIK surgery. There's the chance. And I think that only increases my fear of the situation when it is a flying vehicle.
Sirius's private jet can now land itself, no pilot needed. The Safe Return Emergency Auto Land System lets passengers hit a big red button to bring the plane safely to the pilots if the pilot's incapacitated. This doesn't seem like a super high capacity jet, like four passenger, maybe six? Four and two kids? I don't know. But the auto landing system here is actually quite sophisticated. It not only puts the landing gear down and does all that, but it'll find the nearest airport and radio the airport and be like, I've got an emergency landing situation. If they're not going to make it to an airport, it can land on a highway. But it does all of that automatically. It notifies the aircraft. It'll read messages like a robotic voice will be like, I'm the autopilot system of the Nimbus 3000. We're going to land soon. And just, it does it all.
How annoyed are you if you're an air traffic controller and you're getting robocalls all day? Stupid robocalls. Take me off the list. This story is incredible, and you might look at it and you think, well, yeah, but it's bad at it. It's not doing a very good job, but you don't understand. If we're this close now, what do you think this is going to be in 5 years? This is terrifying.
Neural network reconstructs human thoughts from brainwaves in real time. So the left picture is what somebody was looking at, and the right picture is what the machine read without having sensors implanted in their brain. That was read through their skull. That's pretty impressive.
Honestly, this looks a lot like what the world looks like to me when I'm not wearing my glasses.
I think that this would probably do better if your sensors were implanted directly in the brain, but, you know.
So it's EEG. Here's the little hat you got to wear. And, yeah, you get these... not real. I mean, you can't tell what that one is. But you could tell that's a person.
Yeah.
And you could probably tell, like, if that guy just robbed a bank... and he was wearing those clothes, you have a pretty good idea. Oh, man, our thoughts are not going to be our own pretty soon. They had another picture, but I guess not. But yeah, just strap you down and put that thing on you and give you some sort of shot. So you're like, and then hypnotize you to go back into your memories. Just rob you of all your thoughts. Why not? Another exciting robot. Well, we've talked about self-driving cars, not today, but we've beat that into the ground. And the self-landing jet. So there's only one other thing to talk about.
Self-driving boats. This boat is going to be a robotic Mayflower, and it's going to cross the Atlantic on the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrim's Journey. Yes, it is leaving from Plymouth Rock in 2020.
I think it'll be landing.
Or is it landing? I thought it was leaving.
Oh, is it? So maybe. It's going to do the reverse?
It was leaving, or landing. Oh, is, I thought Plymouth, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Plymouth Rock is here.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was going back, but maybe not.
I don't know. But that would... Anyway. It's either doing the journey of the pilgrims or the reverse of the journey of the pilgrims. And it looks pretty cool, and there's not going to be anybody on board.
I think I got it wrong. I think it's going to be landing at Plymouth Rock here in like May of 2020.
That would mimic
yeah.
the pilgrims.
Yeah. On the 400th anniversary of the journey. So, but it's a totally autonomous. No people on board.
Pretty cool. And all solar, except it does have a diesel generator. But it might not use it.
Probably also won't get run over by a shipping ship. Probably.
It would make short work of it if it did. If you have dreamed of finally getting to live in a Minecraft world, MIT has something that's going to make you... So excited, because finally, we can shape our entire world out of tiny blocks.
MIT's new robot blocks self-assemble just like a transformer. So these have a 12,000 RPM spinning thing in them that it hits with a brake every now and then. And because of that, the inertia moves them. So yeah, you got to see the little, they're just, yeah. And that's like slow motion. So they're just like, okay. There's also magnets. So they'll stick together on their own once they...
Look at this. Look at that jump. That's incredible. Oh my God. So good. So those little things, you might be thinking, so what? What are those things going to do? Well, right now they don't do a lot. They can assemble themselves into certain shapes, and they can follow light beams and stuff like that. But ultimately, you can do a lot with a lot of those little things.
Well, imagine a microscopic version of that, and then millions of them. And then I'm pretty sure that's what the liquid Terminators were made out of.
Well, how about just, a lot of those, very small, and they shape together something, and you hose it down with something that, solidifies them.
Oh, yeah. That would be, a very, very expensive lawn chair.
Well, yeah, but then those individual pieces could have joints made out of little blocks.
Yeah, yeah, but they would, if you hit it with epoxy or something, wouldn't they just be encased in an epoxy prison after that?
Well, you encase each individual piece, and then the joints are magnetic.
Oh, I was thinking that these robots would be more useful as a freeform 3D printer. So you take resin and the robots shape whatever it is you want and then move on to build the next thing.
Yeah, but like you say, there's a lot of technology in those little blocks that it's like, is our cup holder really worth all those magnets and all that rare earth that we're just sealing away into our tablet stand?
They're doing a better job managing the lithium reserves than I thought they would be able to. So I guess it's fine.
Moving on to nonsense. Now, we often talk about the carbon footprint and all this climate stuff, and it seems like everybody wants to make you feel bad about whatever you're doing. And often they'll take that a little too far, in my opinion. This being a really good example, because a lot of you are destroying the earth by breathing.
Asthma's carbon footprint is as big as eating meat. All of it. The entire meat industry is as big as the... in terms of carbon emissions, as the inhaler industry.
Why? Because they use propellant to propel that medicine into your lungs. And you're selfish. Your selfish need to keep breathing is destroying the planet. Now, they suggest that you switch to, what do they call it? Like a powder-based? Have you ever seen powder-based?
No.
I don't know what that is.
If I were having an asthma attack, I would not be interested in anything except life-saving whatever it is in the inhaler and not a powder.
Different type of. I think it's like you just have to. It's a different. It's harder to get in, and you might think it's like, well, you know, you could learn, but when you're dying, sometimes the motor skills and, like, you know, the adrenaline and the cortisol, yeah. You know, you need something kind of foolproof.
Push the button and. With what little breathing capacity you have, breathe it in.
Instead, you know, get a mortar and pestle. I gotta get this ready. Like, I've got seconds left. Oh man, what is wrong with the world? I don't know. So we talked about the satellite. Was it last week we talked about the satellite trash?
Yeah.
How, like, what happens when they come crashing down? Well. We expect them to burn up in the atmosphere, right? So it's no big deal. Or is it?
You never know what's going to happen. A Michigan family has been surprised when a satellite has crashed into their property. Thank God none of the horses were out. So this was apparently a Samsung selfie satellite?
It was the dumbest idea. Somebody at Samsung needs to be fired. There was some kind of model, and the model took a selfie, and I guess they painted the selfie on the satellite somehow? Is that how you understood it?
Yeah.
And then they launched the satellite so that you could have a selfie in space. And they were like, someday everybody can have a selfie in space.
Maybe it never made it to space. Maybe they did this with, like, a weather balloon, and that's why it survived. Because even if it fell from, you know, a long way away, it seems like it was weather balloon country.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, if you look at it, it's not burnt at all. So, yeah, I don't think it ever made it anywhere. But what a dumb idea. I mean, it could have hit one of the horses.
What a dumb idea. And the edge of space is not space. Shame on you for lying, Samsung.
But if you think about, like, the PR they're going to get from this, it's the perfect satellite, the selfie satellite. Because it's content that most people don't want, but somehow it gets your attention. And, you know, could kill somebody because you're doing it dangerously. Samsung members, I don't know what that is, do you?
It's a Samsung, like, loyalty application, but you join it. Like, it's Samsung's social application for people that own Samsung products, because why would anybody care?
So you can post to this, just like social media, and people can upvote your posts. And in some weird series of events, some guy made a post that just, like, I don't even think he meant to. Reading the text is crazy. And, of course, it got upvoted because people will upvote this kind of thing.
Samsung members had a pick of... we might still have monetization in this one, so you're going to have to read the headline. And content moderators were asleep, so a lot of people saw... There's a blurry picture. An eggplant. It's a blurry eggplant.
And the headline was, I hate this effing pigs... And just gibberish. Just makes no sense.
Content moderators did not notice for a long time. And it got a lot of attention, which meant that a lot more people using this product saw it.
Now, this screenshot, it's only got 7 hearts. Or what, is that 7? I can't even see.
I don't know.
It's got a lot of comments on this one. But yeah, it was taken down and this person was banned.
Wow. Oops.
I got to think he did it on accident.
Yeah, probably.
Because, I mean, it's just... Why? Or it was brilliantly crafted. I don't know. It's either brilliance or a mistake, I think.
Oh, there's a quote I want to read in this one.
This, to me, is like Geneva Convention territory. This is terrible. You need to hydrate, people. Water, oh, it's so important. I've become one of these people that just carries around a thermos with me. That's my new thing. I'm that guy now. So this terrifies me.
World's most expensive bank has limited staff drinking water to cut costs. I thought that the headline meant that they had limited staff to only drinking water. And the answer was no. The president of the bank, literally, the president of the bank is quoted as saying, I wandered around the office and noticed that people only had half-empty glasses of water on their desks. So we're wasting a lot of water. So I've rationed how much water we have. And then the article, the quote in the article was like, this is just another example of how the bank is saving costs. And it's like, no, the water doesn't cost that much. Stop being dumb.
And some parts of the world, water does cost more. But how much could they save?
Not enough for it to matter.
I mean, it's got to wash out. If you forget and like leave the door propped open on a cold day, you've offset the entire savings of the year.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. This guy had a reputation, it seems, for being like a real hard-nosed bank manager. Like, he saved money at banks. That's what he did. And I can only feel bad for those tellers, you know, because, I mean, Jesus.
We've got to ration the water now.
Although they should have finished their water. Could have all been avoided.
Please, sir, may I have some more?
Cars these days have apps. And these apps can unlock your car. They can start it remotely. And you might be thinking, well, that seems like a bad idea. Yeah, remember the Tesla story? And the app stopped working. And people were like, what am I going to do? Because they didn't carry a key. Because they just had the app on their phone. Well, there's another problem when you think about that, if you think about it at all.
5 months after returning a rental car, a man still has remote control. So, dude rented a Ford SUV and was like, oh, cool, it's got an app, I can enroll my phone. So he enrolled his phone in the app for the rental car. But no one ever disenrolled his phone from the rental car.
And the only thing that you have to put in is the VIN number.
And if you're physically in the car and you're like, hey, enroll me, it'll just do it. And yeah, you got control of it forever.
It comes through the infotainment system. So if you have access to that and the car is running, you can enroll a phone forever. And he keeps tweeting. There's some pictures of his tweets here.
Yeah, it's like a week and then months and then several months.
He's like, hey, I've still got it. Should I start unlocking it? Will that make you do something about this, Ford? And Ford doesn't care.
Yeah.
There is no good answer.
He submitted a thing to Ford and they were just like, denied.
Because what are they going to do about it? Because every time that car gets rented, they would have to go through and shake off all the... But what if the rental company has one in it? It's a terrible, terrible design. Wow. Plus, if you sell your car...
Yeah, I think there have been several stories where people have access to their car after it's sold. There have been several cases where somebody returned a product that they bought on Amazon that had a similar enrollment process, and they still had access to the product after somebody else hooked it up in their house.
Terrible. Terrible idea, because I don't think from the car side you have a way to shake them all off.
No, they said specifically in the Ford thing, it's like, can you even list the devices that are enrolled? And there was no way to do that from the car.
Terrible. We talked about Elizabeth Warren and her genius idea, which I don't think came from her. I think it was a staffer, to run a fake ad on Facebook to point out that Facebook lets you lie on political ads. And this guy took that and actually just basically did the same thing, except he wasn't a politician, so he had to go a step further.
This man is running for governor of California so he can run false Facebook ads. So a political action committee or a private company can't run fake Facebook ads, only the person campaigning or the politician. So this guy is now campaigning to run for governor. And so this is to try to force Facebook's hand, I guess, that, okay, we're not going to allow, you know, fake ads in some scenario. Because presumably he's going to have even more outlandish fake ads than Senator Warren.
Now, when I first saw this headline, I hoped that this was just like a enterprising guy who was going to run for governor and then post ads that was like, you know, Bob's Pizza will make you a better lover, you know? And then, hey, I'm a politician. Rules are rules, right? You can't. But no, he's just some kind of anti-Trump guy who is doing the exact same thing that Warren did. So, taking away points for lack of originality there. In the dystopian future that we live with the surveillance state, this is a headline that doesn't surprise me, and the lack of surprise is what should shock you. That's the disturbing part here.
Chinese primary school, has halted trial of a device that monitors pupils' brainwaves. This is after parents complained. Well, I think the Democratic People's Republic has found where the line is. It's in primary school, and it's in a brain shunt.
We're talking about North Korea.
Oh, Wait.
DPRK is Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
What is, I thought there was the China thing. Like the Chinese.
What's China? The Chinese are communists.
Oh. I've messed that up completely.
Maybe they do have a name like that. I don't know.
I thought that there was some kind of like, because in one of the articles it was like, that was a, I remember reading it and thinking that's a really cool name for that. It was the propaganda arm of the Communist Party.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it wasn't, no, you're right. It was something else, but something like that. But yeah, Chinese primary school. We've reported on this a few times before. It was like behavior monitoring.
But that was just cameras.
Yeah. But it was also, it was not just cameras. It was AI analyzing the camera feed. And so it was like, this child is paying attention. This child is unhappy. This child is happy. And now it's actually monitoring. It's like, you look happy, but your brainwaves say you're not happy.
And it's literally a little like crown that you have to wear.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and you got to think, the people of China, they're kind of boiled frogs, you think, at this point. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it seems that way from the, when you read the news, that they're kind of used to this whole surveillance state stuff. So when it comes to the point where they're like, really? You're really going to scan our kids' brainwaves when they're in a primary school? Is that a thing we're doing now? Then you know that it's over the line. It's a long way over the line.
Well, you can read more about it at The Guardian, so don't take our word for it.
Well, they're not doing it anymore. And I like how they were interviewing the guy, and he was like, I really don't see why this is a big deal. What do you expect us to do?
Say no, dot, 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 nervous laughter.
And finally, is this a case of a man being persecuted, or is this just a really trumped up legal defense? That's the question. I don't know the answer.
This is from the Swindon Advertiser, which might be the first time we have ever had a story
I think it's going to be the first and last.
Yeah, so it's from .co.uk. So this is a blind man from Westbury has denied possession of indecent images of children. He is legally blind. The article does not say if he is actually blind. Here in America, legally blind means that your vision is impaired, but you may not be completely blind.
But I think it has to be pretty bad, right? Like, corrective lenses cannot get you back to
100%.
To driving.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not at 100% with lenses.
Yeah.
Most people aren't. But it's bad. It's so bad that, you know, you're considered not functional even with corrective lenses. Now, one question I have here is, okay, let's say you're not blind. It's just blurry. Maybe it's like those, the AI putting together the EEG. You know, like the blurry images. Would child pornography be any different than regular pornography? It's just blobs on a screen, right? Why would you do that? But perhaps the smoking gun is the fact that they claim that he was also caught trying to groom a young child.
Oh, yeah, in chat or whatever.
Yeah.
I was reading that, and I was thinking maybe his computer has been infiltrated. But getting, like, for a blind person to be able to afford the forensic analysis necessary to determine that somebody has remote control of your computer would be problematic. I know here in America, he would definitely be on his own. The prosecutors would not be interested in you know, scanning his computer to determine if that was the case. But that may not be the case in the UK.
Is it the darkest timeline if you're using your, law required screen reader and text to speech to groom children for sexual assaults? I mean, that's just something to think about, isn't it?
What if, if he's blind, maybe he could, you know, imagine the future where Alexa's a little bit more sophisticated, and so it's like Alexa is an accessory, or maybe Alexa is the person thing that reported the crime. Because it's like, hey, Alexa, I don't know what's happening on the screen. Read it to me.
So Alexa's no one viewed it except Alexa.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, they're very thorough. So it wasn't a child, it was one of those sting operations. And they're very clear to make the age obvious. And they'll mention it a couple of times. So, I don't know. Also, if you're legally blind, how do you pull off like going and finding the child and finalizing the whole thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of details that are not in the Swindon Advertiser. Well,
I guess he could have just been going for nudes.
Yeah. Although, still, I think the Swindon Advertiser could have done a better job.
You know what? They don't have the kind of investigative reporting that this kind of story requires at the Swindon Advertiser. They really need to spend some money on that.
It's like, not actually blind? Is he just hiding behind that as a defense?
You know what?
If that's the case, that's terrible.
Somebody should have, like, crept up in his periphery vision and then just been like, boo, you know, and see if he reacted or not. All right.
We'll end on that one. This week.
We'll see you next week.